You want to call the roll?
Councilman Pitt?
Here.
Mayor Colacott?
Here.
Okay.
Staff will be myself, Steve Franks, Ray Pasqua, and Akram India. And we have a member of the public as well.
Okay. So let's go to public comment. You wish to make a statement?
Do you want to approve the minutes, or?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
I move approval.
Okay, yes, that did.
Okay.
Public comment, sir?
Nothing.
Nothing, okay. All right, Steve.
Okay.
Two items for the agenda.
Two items. One is a conditional use permit, which says 9620 Mesa Drive. It should be Loma Drive, for the record. And it's public notice as Loma, correctly. It is, I'll let Ray talk through it, and we'll give you the intro, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. It's actually Loma Street. And this conditional use permit involves a vacant piece of property that's on the northwest corner of Cannon Street and Loma Street. I've been working, and my apologies. Michael Marcos, he's a project architect that I've been working with for the last several months to get a set of plans before City Council. During the time that we were reviewing the plans, we found out in the code that the guest house, the detached guest house in the back of the property, along with the, well, just the guest house, exceeded the height allowed for a detached accessory building or structure. As a result, we needed, as the code says, we need to get a conditional use permit to allow it to go higher than 15 feet, and they're proposing it at 24 feet. So that's basically the essence of the conditional use permit application request.
So the question came up from the mayor whether or not it was an ADU, it would be under different provisions. We've spoken to council, and he has indicated that the state law says the cities can prescribe height and certain requirements to it, so it's deferential to city requirements. Our city ADU code is actually deference to our planning code, so it says all terms and conditions regarding height and distance will be consistent with the city planning codes. So by deference, it's whether it's an ADU or a guest house, it would still require a CUP, as interpreted as a follow-up to your question. It is, the ADU is permissive, but it does allow the state. So since this county, the city has adopted that ordinance, that's where we sit right at this point.
Okay. But in general, if the proponent calls it an ADU, the ADU requirements are generally more permissive.
Generally, they are, but in this specific instance, because we've spelled it out in our codes and our ordinances, and the state says you're allowed it in that area. So overall, you're correct, but in this one, it would be, unless we were to change our ordinance.
And ADUs allow kitchens, whereas the guest house does not.
No, it does not.
Correct.
So if you call it an ADU, just by changing the name, you don't have to deal with the kitchen issue.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
But this one, you can see the plans, has a kitchen in it.
Which that's what I'm suggesting.
So as a point to,
just
we...
Just by a matter of semantics... You can make things easier.
We have noticed publicly what the requirement is, 300 feet.
Yes.
And we have received three neighbors have responded affirmatively in support. All right?
Right. We, Ms. Marcos, he went ahead and canvassed those properties that would be most impacted by the two-story. And... he was able to collect signatures from those property owners in support of the project.
But I would say this would be the only second story detached unit that we have, right, in the city?
Detached guest house, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the city, so that's...
There was another gentleman that came to, I might as well mention, there's another gentleman that came to the counter that received a public hearing notice. He was within the 300-foot radius. And he just came in to ask what the conditional use permit was for, and I explained to him what it was, and he didn't really express any concerns about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those were the only four citizens within the city that...
Within the prescribed public notice area. I mean, that we've...
And Michael, he was going to amend or revise the plans to, because it's not a kitchen. There's a place for, and the plans it calls it out as a kitchen, but there's a place for a refrigerator and a sink, but it doesn't have a range, an oven, or anything like that that would, you know, be considered a kitchen.
Traditional kitchen.
It doesn't have the appliances that would, be considered a kitchen. So that the plans will be amended prior to, assuming that it gets through the process, that that it will be amended or revised to reflect that it's not a kitchen. I don't know what we're going to call it yet, but...
I don't know either what we're going to call it.
Why would you not want to call it a kitchen?
I'm sorry?
Why would you not want to call it a kitchen?
Actually, because it's not a kitchen. I know that the guest house will not allow the kitchens.
Yeah, you just add a small stove and a...
No, not even a stove. On the plans?
No. If you added...
Yeah, but it would be considered not a guest house. It would be like a second unit.
Yeah, an ADU, which is a lot, the state mandate overrides a lot of the local zoning and requirements and use requirements, and actually provides benefit to your client.
I mean, it's up to him to come. To be honest with you, who is not planning to rent it out or anything.
Yeah,
but
if he sells it, it's going to be worth a lot more.
Actually, he's the owner of the next door.
Yeah,
the existing building, the existing house.
Uh huh.
In 1622.
He owns that house?
Yeah.
Okay. House. And he's building this house next door on that vacant property?
Yes.
Okay.
So actually, it was one property when he bought the house, I think, I don't remember exactly when.
Uh-huh.
And he did a subdivision, and now they became two lots.
Yeah.
And he's planning to build this house with a guest house. Maybe he will sell the big one, maybe. I know he is quite a bit established, so maybe for his kids, I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Well, I hope it's brought to his attention because, you know, it may be of interest to him. I apologize that our staff didn't bring this to your attention to begin with.
No, actually, I'm aware of the second unit ordinance.
The ADU.
It was one of the first questions I asked you during the process.
But, I mean,
so staff did talk to you about that.
Okay.
Yeah. But we'll share it with the owner again. But actually, that guest house, this area, we'll call it a kitchen. Actually, they have like a sliding, not a folding window, big window with a counter. It's basically was meant to be like serving the indoor, outdoor kind of drinks, whatever, for people when they have like eventually a pool in the future or something. But it's a very good idea to definitely to, if he can call it an ADU, and then can be.
Is there any benefit to the city one way or the other if it's ADU or not? No benefit to the city.
Not at all. It's just, if somebody wanted to, let's say a subsequent owner decided to add a kitchen to it, it'd solve a lot of, it'd be a lot easier for us. We wouldn't have to do any variances or anything or change.
Well, it would change the condition of his requirements. In other words, he would have to live in the primary or the secondary residence because we adopted that ordinance.
Okay.
And that it would subject it to that other provision that was just adopted by the council.
And they would have to record a deed restrictions to make sure that the current owner and subsequent owners would comply with the ADU requirements that we have.
He has to live in one of them.
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. He has to live
That's
in
the
one.
Current code.
So how do you feel about this?
As long as the owner is aware of what the alternatives are so that they can make the best decision for themselves.
Okay.
And that's certainly an option that they can exercise down the road. We're just having to deal with the height requirement, and that's why we're going through the exercise of the CUP process.
You know, the only concern I have about this is the only two-story we got in the Villa Park. That's a second dwelling. And I don't know that we've vetted it with the community as to whether or not they're going to be concerned about other This one is a little different because down kind of at the foot of the hill.
Yeah, it's in a hill area.
You know, the people that are looking at it are kind of looking down on it. That's a little different story.
Yeah.
But when you're by your house or by my house or something, and I've got a two-story house that's up against the fence, it's a 10-foot offset, I'm just afraid people are not going. And if we got to be careful that we don't set a precedence with this one. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying I've been screamed at about property rights for quite a while now, so I am a little cautious about this. The only recommendation I would have is I'd like to see us. I know we put it on the agenda tonight for whatever reason, but I'd like to give us an opportunity to vet this with the community. I don't want to get any future backlash because I know for a fact that there are other people considering a two-story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is actually 25 feet from the rear property line, which is the minimum rear yard setback requirement in the E4 zone.
Okay, but there are other zones.
Yeah, if this was attached, Councilman, it wouldn't have mattered.
I understand.
Because they would have allowed, subject to compliance with all of the other development standards like lot coverage, floor area ratio, all of that stuff. Conceivably, someone down the street could have gotten the house within 25 feet at two-story.
Yeah. And and then you're looking out, you hear people say, "Oh, you're looking out the window at me in my backyard."
Yeah.
And it's guest, okay? It's not, in all cases, it's not the family that lives there. It's their guest or maybe some extended member of the family. And my only concern is I'd like to almost notice this to the community and have people come in and talk about other. If they're all for it, I'm cool. I don't care. But I just think pushing this through, if we push it through tonight, then we set a precedence. And then if we set a precedence, the next one we look at may have a lot of opposition to it. And then we catch a mess. That's my only concern.
Yeah, it was noticed 10
calendar
days.
Within 300 feet. Yeah.
Within 300
right,
feet.
Right, but I'm talking about the community holistically.
Yeah. He's thinking larger than the flatland area, for instance, where it might be a bigger issue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you've got hillsides and stuff like that. People a little bit more. I mean, we had one gentleman stand up in the last council meeting and talk about trees in front of his view for the damn ocean. So, I'm just saying. We've got somebody else complaining about statues in the backyard, right? Now we're going to have somebody building a two-story house in the backyard, detached or unattached, okay? Mm-hmm. So my only question or concern would be, is it possible that we delay this tonight? I don't want to delay the homeowner in any way, shape, or form, but I'd like to see us notice it and have it come before, have the public have the opportunity to say something.
October 23rd would be the council meeting that would push it.
Would that be a hardship?
No.
Okay.
Councilman, when you say notice to the community, how do you propose
it? We could probably notice it, just like we notice an ordinance or something.
And then do it through the feeder and some other stuff.
Like we do it in a register, we just public an ordinance. Like we do it, notice it an ordinance type of thing.
Just to be clear, if it's an attached, whether you call it a guest house or an attached ADU, it can be two stories if it's attached, right?
Two story, so long as it meets the maximum height requirement within that zoning district, which is 30 feet with an average of 27 feet.
Now, I think we adopted height limits on second stories adjacent to the backyards. I know we were talking about developing one, a graduated limit.
Yeah, that was, Mayor, that was within the design guidelines, which wasn't codified as part of the municipal code. But yeah, that's something that we did recently.
Can you review that for us?
Yeah, I believe it's 5 feet off of the, okay, so you have, let's just say 10 feet side property line, and then if it's a second story to avoid having that box look, to set it from the edge of the first floor 5 feet. And then I believe there's some provisions or guidelines in there that speaks to the second story not being or less than 100% of the square footage of the first floor. Again, all in the name of avoiding a shoebox type of structure on the property.
Yeah. So let's see. But that's on side yards. On backyards, you've already got a 25-foot setback for second stories?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, that's the minimum setback for the rear yard.
That's okay. My concern is somebody seeing a two-story go up 25 feet that's on the backside. When you look at something from the street and it's a two-story house, people tend not to see what's in the back, mm-hmm. except for who lives in the back. Mm-hmm. And I just am careful because I know there's more coming.
Mm-hmm. And just so that you know, I mean, if this house was existing the way it is today, and it was one story, someone could submit plans to add a second story.
True.
And it's ministerial. It's just at staff level. Mm-hmm. Unless they're requesting a deviation from a code requirement. Otherwise, it would just be a building permit.
Right. Well, if they're not causing a hardship for the homeowner to wait, I'd like to notice it and put it on next month's agenda. And give the public the opportunity to come in and talk about it, and if they're all for it, nobody shows up.
Yeah,
they have the opportunity.
You know, we do have some detached garages in Dell Park, and one option is always for folks to take their garage and put a second story ADU.
You know but again, if it's and I know we've got one or two of those already.
Yeah. Yes,
we do, but. Again, if you're looking at it from the front of the house, sometimes people are a little bit more permissive than they are from the back.
Yeah.
That's the only problem.
Particularly the side yard, because you don't have the setback.
Right. So if you're okay with this, I'd like to...
Sure. Yeah.
I'd like to give them the opportunity to...
Do you want this just to come back to the council or the next CDC meeting?
No, I don't know that it needs to come back to us.
Well, yeah.
Oh, do you?
Well, we should give a recommendation.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah, we'll bring it back here, and then we'll put it on the agenda.
You could do something. I'm just trying to figure out so we don't require too many agenda meetings or whatever. You could do something like, say, conditionally you guys approve it, dependent upon, you know, you recommend it tentatively based on public input or something along those lines if you wanted to.
No, I don't want to set that precedence either.
That's fine.
Can help it.
Okay. We'll bring it back to the...
I just see bring it back, bring it back and look at it again.
So it doesn't go to City Council tonight then?
No, we'll just continue it for... Oh, or delete it.
Yeah, okay.
Public notice, I hope we can provide some elaboration so that you can identify what the rear yard setback is, let's say on E4 lots, and what the side yard setbacks are, and what our design guidelines are for second story, so that all the... an ADU or a guest house would also have to comply with those requirements.
Because I know what we went through for the short-term rentals. I know we went through with the granny flats, and you got to live in, you know, one or the other. I just want to make sure we give the public the opportunity.
Okay, so we will agendize for the next CDC meeting.
Okay.
If you could communicate that to the owner.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that's the only thing that, as far as the property, the building, the plans and all that, that's the only thing that's outstanding for you all, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Everything else has been worked through over various iterations of discussions.
Yeah, actually, can I add just thank you, sir, and I know where you're coming from. You cannot approve something and then, you know, another homeowner came and, oh, you approved it in this.
Yeah.
Why not me?
Yes.
But the reason we did it in two stories because this lot, the slope is 48% of the lot.
Right.
So we have a hardship when it comes to the topo of this property. Mm-hmm. And we felt that if we put the 1,200 square feet, or actually we're proposing almost like 1,000 or so, as one story, we almost dividing or separating the 25 feet of the rear setback from the rest of the mm-hmm. backyard. But that's why we're trying to shrink the footprint of this guest house. If the lot was like a flat lot like other ones, I'm a fan of one story, by the way, so I would push for one story.
Especially as we get older.
You're seriously, when I bought my house, I was insisting for one story house. And then, anyway, so that's why we put it. However, the other thing too is the houses behind it or above it on Mesa, by Google Earth, when you click on it, The one of them is like 35 feet higher. Mm-hmm. So there is no any obstruction.
Right, right, right.
That street, this side is Cannon. On the north side is City of Orange, and I don't think that will be developed.
Yeah.
So that's why.
I understand.
You know, for this.
But again, that's not the only piece of property where we have a chance of something being built.
Yeah.
The other and based on your comments, that brings up another question. You know, all the issues we had with the Cannon Wall and stuff. Now we're going to that piece of property and do construction. Are we doing anything with retaining walls or any of that kind of stuff to keep the hillside from?
No, almost there's no retaining walls. Maybe in a very corner, very small corner.
On the other side of the Loma. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm talking about on this property.
Oh, on this property.
You've got houses up on the hill above it. And I was just concerned about, you know, you've got a slope there. He brought up the slope too.
Mm-hmm.
That
you
got a slope there. Are we building retaining walls there? Are we required or anything like that?
I can show you on the plans here where is the deep footings, but there's no retaining wall.
Okay.
No.
And you're okay
we
with that?
We keep the natural look of that slope.
Okay.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, how deep are the footings?
I don't remember the deep, in the top of my head, but maybe like 3 feet deep.
Oh, okay.
Four, maybe the one. Okay. It's in a very, very short corner.
Okay.
Yeah. Because actually, we finished all the structure drawings and everything ready for your approval, so the owner, he is ready to go.
Oh, it looks like a real nice project. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. It would be nice to see something on that corner, because it leads right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
No, you're welcome. So tonight is...
There'll be no action at the city council meeting.
Yeah, so because the owner was planning to come.
Yeah, you can tell him that, tell him that it's not a problem with the plans in and of themselves. It's an idea. I think the councilman is asking for time to vet through the community because of the implications for the entire community. So he needs to understand that there's nothing particular in the plans that he's being cited.
It's nothing to do with you or him. So
I want to make sure he's comfortable with that, so he doesn't feel
it's setting precedent.
That's a very good point, because could open a kind of worm later on with that.
Yeah. So just if you can give him the comfort level.
I will.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Ray.
Yeah, I've looked at that property over the years and learned about it.
Well, you know, it was weeds.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's such a great asset sitting there for somebody to develop.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to be living right next to Cannon, though.
Well, yeah. There are ways to attenuate noise and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Okay, the item B, 3B, is an encroachment agreement. This is a property on Valley that is Valley and
Cerebella,
the corner there. You'll recall there used to be a barn there, and it was subsequently removed. And that property has a slope all the way around a big portion. But actually, it's two properties, not just one. There's two properties there.
But this owner owns both?
The owner owns both, yes. Okay. It's a longtime resident. There's a lot of history, actually, with that resident. But anyway, in a positive way toward the city, I think his father was helped drop the papers to incorporate Villa Park. Anyway, long story short, the fencing there has deteriorated, and they want to put something up. There is no fencing around a portion of it, a good portion of it. That easement or that right of way for the city extends out pretty deep into the property. So he wanted to put up a fence, and we said you couldn't do it without some sort of agreement or something. So after considerable discussion back and forth about where he does it, his property line would put it pretty much right in the middle of the slope, that he would have to put the fence in there, kind of defeat the purpose of putting a fence up there because it'd be down. So he is yet to submit a grading plan, but he plans somewhere down the road to do something interior. We don't know what that is, but that's a secondary issue. We believe from a public safety perspective and from makes common sense to have that fencing along there. We would have an encroachment agreement. This encroachment agreement says that he basically has to comply with our building standards, he has to advise us what kind of fence he's putting in, and it would be any movement or replacement would be at his expense, and he signs that up front. So this is from a public safety and from a common sense perspective. We're recommending getting into an agreement with him at this time. So that's where we're at.
How far off the edge of the pavement is he proposing to put the fence?
It'll be behind the edge of pavement,
and in order to get exact
it's inside
measurement,
the right of way.
It's in the right of way, but
in the public part of
exterior to what, where the pavement will
the
be.
Pavement management,
is it about where the existing fence is now?
Yes, it's almost close to where it was.
And is he going to put a chain link all the way around?
And that's where, you know, the type of the fence it is. If we need the city approval on that. They'll be processing that.
Because I'm concerned about coming up to that stop sign and being able to see down the street.
Matter of fact, we did have an exhibit as part of the easement agreement, and we'll have a corner, so we would not be going...
Not allowed to put it up on the corner for visual lines.
So we will have a good line of sight.
Okay.
So that's
Let me repeat my question. Okay. If we're talking about putting in the same place as the existing fence is, how far off the edge of the pavement is the existing fence?
Okay. From the... We measured it from the center line, the legal center line. On Valley, we said it has to be 18 feet and a half from the center line. The center line is 25 feet to the property line.
Okay.
So still...
He's inside by 6 or 7.
Behind the actual existing edge of pavement. So it's not within the... pavement, so it's because the street is not fully paved, it's only partially paved. Okay, so it would be behind the existing pavement right now.
Okay, I guess to get to the point of my question, will we have, once the wall is installed, or fence or whatever they construct, will there be adequate space to put in a standard width? Two lanes of pavement and a shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, there is 18 and a half feet.
That's
from
why I'm
the
asking
sunlight.
You as the
yes.
engineer.
There
so
is.
That, well, so that will provide for 18 and a half feet on each side of the center line?
From the center line to his property.
No.
On the other side,
we're going to have two lanes of traffic. They both need to be sufficient width to get
will be wider than what is existing right now.
That may be.
Yes.
Will there be enough space, easement space, to have to properly develop the street to provide two adequate lanes of traffic shoulders?
I believe the answer to the question is yes.
Let me clarify something is that as the city manager mentioned, we're putting it right at the edge of the slope. If we're going to push it any further, it'll be way down, so the street will be here and the fence will be right on this side. That's why we chose this location, so it'll be right at where the grade difference occurs.
So what does that give
right
you
there
from the center line to the fence?
Is 18 feet and a half.
What do we require for a normal lane of traffic? 12?
Okay. For a regular lane, it's 12 feet.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's what he's looking
for. But on the other side, you know, there is...
We've got issues on both sides
of
that road.
Yes, we've got both issues on both sides.
You go up, have you looked at the stakes and where they're marked? Where
I've
people,
looked at the stakes,
you
yes.
Got, you need to go up there and look at it, seriously.
Okay.
Because
that's
it's
a lot of encroachments.
Yes.
Let's put it this way.
Yeah,
on
I know there's a lot of encroachments going all the way up.
On both sides.
Yes.
Yes.
On both sides of the road.
Yes.
Okay. So.
But the left side going down is a little less than the right side.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
Because of the stakes are towards the pavement from the fences. Most of the fences along there.
Yes, I mean, we're talking about Valley. Is if you're driving from Cerro Villa towards Mesa, on the right hand side or the downhill side, where the curb is built, it is
closer
to the full size of the
normal street.
Normal street.
The 12 foot.
Except when you get closer to the within from Cerro Villa for about three or four properties, since there's no curb. Those are encroaching the pavement.
Yeah, but you know, my concern is that you know we're going to continue as a city for in perpetuity, I hope, and we want to make sure that by whatever fence is put up doesn't preclude our options from finishing out that street if it's needs to be wider or whatever.
Yeah, and then
plus the easement.
The easement allows us for at any time to require him to take it down and widen it at his expense.
What type of fence are they contemplating? Have they shared that? Is it?
I think right now there is a chain link fence.
But so are they
most
proposing?
Most probably that's what's going to be.
Okay, so that's temporary anyway.
He's doing it for safety reasons, right?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, he's right. And allowing, he has a dog, he can't get out in the backyard because it can run free.
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues, so.
Is there, is it a safety issue of, should we put up a guardrail or something along there? Because
the
chain link fence isn't going to hold much of anything.
There's no need for a guardrail. And in that area, as part of valley paving, we're going to put a berm, AC berm.
Okay.
Close to that area. Yes.
Now, out on Saravella, they've got the two wooden fences for the trail.
Yes.
Whatever you call that.
Yes.
So there'd be a fence, little space, wooden fence, trail, wooden fence.
The fence will be behind the trail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost right at the property line.
Right.
Okay.
So this as well is on the agenda for the city council tonight as well, so.
I don't have a problem. As long as it doesn't affect our roadway there.
No. Yeah. The caveat we have is that at any time in the future we decide we want to do something different up there, we have the option of saying, you need to move it. And he does it at his expense.
He signed an agreement.
That's the intent of the. That's why it's called an encroachment agreement. Yeah. So he'd be party to the agreement, and that would transfer should he sell the house to whoever. So.
Okay.
So I guess.
It's a recommendation. Recommendation to approve.
Approve it. Or to the city council.
To recommend approval to the
city council.
Do we talk about the storm drain here?
It's not agendized. We'll do it in closed session tonight. It's one of our closed session items tonight.
I didn't know if that was part of the updates on any of the stuff.
Because it was in the past, but because we've entered into litigation, Todd and I have decided to narrow the focus of where this is discussed.
Yeah.
Because this is a public meeting, we thought it probably wouldn't be appropriate to have that conversation. So.
Okay.
Monthly updates, the projects you'll see, the building permit and safety, Bill has printed that out. It's through August. And it is, by the way, that $600,000 is the Doty residence.
It is?
Yes.
Well, it's nice to see there's quite a few large projects going on.
Right.
And there's a few more in the pipeline.
Yeah, there's a number of plan check items in the pipeline, yes.
Try to hire a contractor nowadays.
Oh.
Yeah.
The item 4B is
Let it begin. I mean,
yeah,
little park and go crazy. I don't care. I got his revenue.
That's great. Yeah. Code enforcement violations and updates are in 4B. That's attached as of September 18th. So it's very current. Bill printed it out yesterday, filled up yesterday. You can see it's also listing closed items, and I sort of challenged Bill to close as many as he can. So he's making a point by showing all the closed items that he's done.
Are we satisfied with the blue house on across from Bill Park Elementary?
I think for purposes of meeting up the code requirements, they've done what they have said they were going to do. Is it maybe ideal? But it's got landscaping in there.
Not my choice.
It's got landscaping in there, and it does
have paper around the windows.
I know. Unfortunately, there's it is progress considered where it was months ago.
And what about Mendocino?
The owner. This one thing. This is the sort of the trouble we have with the public nuisance. If they make improvements, we have to sort of say you got to continue and do more. It's a working dialogue. It's not a fast process, and you'll see there on Mendocino that you declared it a public nuisance. The owner is making small improvements, so every time Bill goes back, he gives them a list of new things that you haven't done this, you haven't done that, and we're going to, but they continue to show improvement on, well, we've done this, we've done that. So they check off some things on the list, and Bill says go back to the rest of the list, and we go through a continual dialogue.
Up on the hill where the homeless people were going in and out of.
That's an interesting one. That's owned by the bank now. They refused a short sale. So we have declared a lien on it. We've cleaned it up once. We'll continue to clean it up again. Mm-hmm. But we have a lien on the property for our costs, and we'll do it again. But the bank will refuse a short sale on there. So I don't have an answer for what the bank wants and is going to get out of there. So,
does it appear we still have transients going?
No, it's boarded up, and the sheriff makes it a regular visit. It's locked with a gate, but it didn't stop him before. And Bill goes by regularly. The deputies go by regularly. That doesn't mean someone isn't sneaking in and living there without our knowledge, but the apparent visible signs are no longer there of a thing. Vector control is also there on a regular basis because they put those in the pool. It's somebody's got a lot of work to do. The owner is a guy in Fountain Valley, but the former owner is somebody in Fountain Valley who doesn't own it anymore, has no interest in even responding. So, like I say, the bank owns it now, and it's a foreclosure with no short sale opportunity. So, I can't answer what's going to happen there. I wish I could say. Okay. It's sort of somebody's got to make a financial decision.
So is the bank cleaning it up inside at all?
No,
it's just like you left it.
Nope, the bank is not doing anything with it. So I don't.
There's furniture in there.
Yeah.
Which bank owns it?
I don't know off the top of my head, but they own it, and they refused foreclosure, and I believe they're no longer dealing with a real estate agent. I don't know. They're dealing with their own.
Hillary's sign's still there.
But I don't think Hillary's actively involved anymore. So. It's not. It has got some problems with it. I mean, it's got some real issues inside, but. And Bill Tarrant thinks there's a little bit of slippage or something on the slope there or something. So it might be a bigger issue than somebody take on. So.
Okay. Anything else? Street maintenance?
The street maintenance. Akron, you want to talk about where the project is?
As you're aware, the street maintenance project has been awarded. And to RJ Noble, we gave them the notice to proceed. They did the concrete curb replacement. And since the sewer rehabilitation project, which is running at the same time, there are some streets are common, so decided to delay the start of the street until the sewer project is out, so they can come in one move to do all the streets, including the streets that are part of the sewer project, which is such as Francisco and a couple of other streets. So they should be
looking along pretty good on Fernando.
Yes.
How soon will those be done?
In a couple of days, it should be finished by the end of this week.
Okay. So when do you anticipate start of pavement?
Well, all what they do, the street pavement will be on the second week of October.
Okay.
Yes.
That's basically two weeks.
So where do they move next?
Which one? On the sewer.
Oh, sewer. I'm sorry.
Sewer, there is a couple of main things left, which is on Taft and also on Santiago, in front of our
over
city.
Here. Okay. That has where all the grease traps and things are. That's right, unfortunately.
And so today was the last day for doing their lining of all the pipes that were part of the project. And it was in the easement where this storm drain is Mesa Henderson at the end, all the way to Rowan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right, that's the update for C&D together.
Thank you.
and Mesa Henderson, like I said, we've continued that, so there really not isn't going to be a formal discussion.
Okay. Got it. Right. Okay, anything else?
There we adjourn that.
Okay. Thanks, guys.